You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Jesse Eisenberg is one of Hollywood's favorite actors for awkward and edgy 20-something roles. His breakthrough performance was in Noah Baumbach's The Squid and the Whale, but he's perhaps best known for his Oscar-nominated portrayal of Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network. He's also an accomplished playwright with two plays produced here in New York, and he's back on our show to talk about his most recent one, The Revisionist, in which he starred with Vanessa Redgrave earlier this year at the Rattlestick Playwrights Theater. Its script, which has just been published by Grove Press, is about David, a young, successful writer who's having problems completing his second novel. He has come to visit a distant Polish cousin, Maria, who's still haunted by and concealing events from World War II. And I'm very pleased that it brings Jesse Eisenberg back to our show. Welcome.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me.
Now, Jesse, we assumed that you were going to be in studio, but something has happened?
Yeah. Several things have happened. I was on a plane from Boston to Newark, and it was canceled this morning, so I'm now in the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel somewhere between those two places.
So you're driving back to New York?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry, I should have said that instead. I rented a car and drove back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it true that this was actually the first play that you completed writing?
Yeah, I wrote this play, and I had done, like, you know, readings for every theater company in New York City, and it was kind of, you know, it was not getting any traction. So I had a play that I'd written after that, but that was more kind of explicitly comedic, so it was easier to kind of do a reading of it and see the kind of value of it. So that was the one that was produced first.
It was less ambitious, easier to get into shape?
I think so. You know, it's strange, like the way you get plays on in New York is doing like readings for theater companies where you're just sitting in chairs and performing, you know, with no set, with no costumes, with no staging or blocking. And so the things that are kind of more explicitly comedic, I think, play really well in those venues. And then something like this, which is just more subtle and quieter and, you know, has looks between people that is meaningful but doesn't play well in those kind of situations, take a little longer, I think, to get on.
But I'm assuming that this is a very personal play for you, otherwise you wouldn't persisted on it with it.
Yeah, I mean, everything I write is pretty personal, but sometimes I like have like more comedic spin on it. But yeah, this was a very personal story, and Vanessa Redgrave played you know, a cousin of mine, yeah, a lot of it is, you know, based in truth.
Well, I imagine that if you, in those early readings, if you'd said, well, Vanessa Redgrave is attached to this, you might have gotten it produced a little earlier.
Now, you know, in retrospect, I should have done that. I had not, that would have been a lie at the time. But going forward, I'll just say whatever I'm trying to get done has Vanessa Redgrave involved in.
Well, that must have been a thrill performing with her. She's one of the greatest actors in the world.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, you know, it's two honors, really, you know, to be able to kind of act with somebody who's just so incredible moment to moment, and then to, you know, have her, you know, do a play that I've been living with for such a long time was really nice, because she's such an unbelievably dedicated actress to the writing. You know, she would be there, you know, I think we did something like 80 performances, and even before the final one, she'd be there going over the script, making sure each line. She played a Polish character, so she's going through her accent, you know, even up to the last show.
How did she become involved?
Her agents saw my first play and asked if I had anything else that I was, you know, working on. And I gave them this play, and they said, "Who do you want to be in it?" And I said, "Vanessa Redgrave." A week later, she had read it and agreed to do it. And so it was pretty quick once she got it. And I had written it kind of with her in mind, only in that I had seen her in A Year of Magical Thinking, which was on Broadway, the Joan Didion play, while I was writing this. And so she was just kind of embedded in my mind. And so when they asked me if I had somebody in mind, and I said her, and they represented her, it was moved pretty quickly.
But then you had to wait a while for her to be available.
Actually, the time slot that we wanted to do it in was like exactly what fit her. So it actually kind of couldn't have been more kind of convenient, except for the 5 years that it took to get it to that place.
I understand that the cousin she played, Maria, was based in part on your Aunt Doris. Who is she to you?
Oh, biographically, it's not based on her, but I have a relationship, a very close relationship with my Aunt Doris. She's 101 years old. She lives in New York City, but she was born in Poland. I've been very close with her for a long time. She's kind of like a mentor to me. So spending that much time with her kind of made me, you know, just kind of consider the relationship between somebody of my generation and somebody of hers.
Well, you've said that you understand her better than any of your other friends, even though you grew up in very different worlds.
Yeah, I don't know when I said that, but yeah, in a way, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I spent more time with her than, you know, on a consistent basis than almost anybody else. So, yeah, I kind of, you know, you understand the. And then I was writing this character that was older, and I could kind of, you know, be able to speak to that perspective a little bit, you know, not as much as I can speak to my own character's perspective, but, you know, to understand what it's like to, you know, to live alone and to be, you know, older and also from a different place.
Did you ever make a trip to Poland?
Yeah, I've been there a few times. I still have some family there in the city in which the play takes place, which is in northwestern Poland, near Berlin, but, you know, on the Polish border.
Was your experience there anything like David's in terms of the perspective that you gained? I mean, you were making a movie there, weren't you?
I was working in the former Yugoslavia, but I decided to, take a road trip up to see where my family's from. It was interesting because there's, this very interesting dichotomy in Poland of kind of the new world infiltrating the old world, you know, which I guess is happening all over the place, but it was just interesting for me to see for the first time, and it was something I wanted to kind of present in the play of this, you know, kind of privileged American kid who doesn't really have an appreciation for the things he has, you know, and then this Polish woman who is not geographically close to her American family, but emotionally very close, whereas the American guy is, you know, lives with his family, but kind of takes him for granted.
And you stayed with a distant cousin when you were there?
Yeah, and so that's kind of where the genesis of the play occurred.
Although I wonder whether you, unlike David, took your hoodie off from time to time.
I did. Yeah, well, I was staying there in the winter, so it was a convenient garment. But the character in the play is quite rude to his cousin, and I wasn't as rude, but, you know, I can kind of understand, you know, as a sheltered American guy going into a foreign place and, you know, having probably kind of selfish expectations, you know, that you can end up coming off rude to a person that's obviously used to a different lifestyle.
Well, David does come across as a bit of a narcissistic, self-involved, pot-smoking jerk. Do you like to write a play like a part like that for yourself?
I much prefer, exploring, you know, a character that, well, I mean, the alternative is that he's kind of this nice guy, which is boring. Or I guess there are maybe several alternatives, but the most interesting, you know, way for me to kind of frame the dichotomy of this woman and this young guy is to kind of, I guess, make him a little worse than me. My first play, also my character was a very different character, but also kind of really misguided. And my next play, the character is kind of really awful.
It's not typecasting. You do wind up in a higher than average ratio of those kinds of roles.
I find them to be really interesting because they're, I mean, at least the way I like to present them is in a way that's kind of confronting something specific. So, you know, in this, the character is this narcissistic writer, and he's not a good writer, and he's kind of, you know, dulls the pain with, and, you know, dull, and dulls his delusions with drugs. And it's, you know, there's always real reasons behind it. And as an actor, it's just a little more interesting to play a character that is kind of struggling with, you know, their identity. And oftentimes that means they're not going to be so good.
My guest is Jesse Eisenberg. The script of his play, The Revisionist, has just been published by Grove Press. In the play, David isn't looking for roots. You said you kind of were. He just wants a cheap and exotic place to stay where he may be able to break through his writer's block and revise the book that he's working on. Well, you also write other kinds of pieces. You write for the New Yorker Times. Have you ever suffered from writer's block?
Every time I'm not writing something, I'm suffering from writer's block. So, yeah, 95% of the time. It's hard. This is why I end up always writing about myself in these plays. And, you know, even for pieces like The New Yorker, which are kind of more explicitly comedic, I'm usually dealing with something personal. When I try to write from like other experiences, I find it to be kind of like frustrating work rather than kind of the creative self-expression that writing in an ideal setting feels like.
At the heart of this play is the question, what is family? And it differs for Maria and for David. Is it fair to say that David's visit is significant to Maria in a way that David can't possibly understand?
Yeah, this woman in Poland, Maria, she lives in, kind of isolation. And so having, like, this young guy visit her is so unbelievably meaningful. The last time somebody visited her, she says, was, several years ago, and he stayed for an hour because he had a meeting in Berlin, which is close enough to visit for, a short drive. And so she's profoundly lonely, and even though he's selfish and even though he doesn't regard her in a way that we would all consider benevolent, she appreciates his visit so much.
Well, her knowledge of the more distant parts of their shared family is a lot more than his. We're talking about people who live in America. She knows more about them in Poland. And then she has her house is full of photographs of the American part of the family.
Yeah, exactly. There's, she is, again, kind of like so geographically couldn't be farther away from the family. And he couldn't be closer, and yet she is kind of obsessed with them. She has the picture, every picture that's been sent is framed, and she knows the relationships of, distant cousins in a way that this American guy could not be bothered with. And, so over the course of the play, he starts to kind of learn about his family for the first time, and, and kind of in an ironic way, because he's now in Poland learning about his American family.
Well, she does get upset when David turns down her offer of the photographs in his bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to write, and he's frustrated, and he's working on this science fiction novel, so he turns down all the photographs in her room, and it's like a real slap in the face beyond what he could have imagined, because, she feels like he's rejecting, her family.
Now, what about the title, The Revisionist? Do you think that all families are revisionists in some way?
Well, yeah, I guess in a broad philosophical way, anytime you tell a story, you're revising it to whatever suit your agenda. But
and if two members of the same family are telling about an event, they tell it quite differently.
Yeah, exactly. And, they're both kind of harboring secrets that they have about their family that over the course of the play start to feel comfortable enough with each other to reveal. And it's very complicated to have these kind of oftentimes discussions with family, because you realize your idea of the family history can vary.
I love the scene where Maria shows David a framed review from the New York Times and tries to get him to sign it. He doesn't want to, for good reason.
Right. Yeah, he got a bad review for his first book in the New York Times, and she is just so elated that he's in the New York Times, which, is an important newspaper, and so she asks him to sign it, and he refuses, and he offers to give her the Associated Press one or the Newsday, which was better. But she wants the New York Times one, and it's just kind of mortifying to him.
So, because she doesn't think that those other reviews are as important as being in the New York Times.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, just for her to be in the New York Times, irrespective of content, is, an honor.
Now, what about reviews? Most actors tell me that they don't read their own reviews. Is that true of you as well?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Because for a million reasons, but especially during a play where, you have the reviews come out when the play opens. So if you were going to read reviews, you'd still have 90% of the run to do. And you don't want it to kind of infect your performance. But even more than that, that's, the reviews are not created to be a dialogue between the reviewed and the reviewer. It's intended to be a dialogue between the audience and the reviewer. So it can be not at the least uncomfortable and at the most toxic to kind of engage with it.
But what about reviews when you're the playwright?
I've never been in a play that's been reviewed where I haven't acted in it, and I I imagine it's tempting, but probably also really uncomfortable to read.
Now, you mentioned that Vanessa Redgrave was always perfecting her performance. Did she also give you input? Are you one of those playwrights who's happy when one of the actors says, you know, it might be better if I say it this way?
Yeah, she is incredibly thoughtful. She does an amazing amount of research, so she had a lot of ideas. What we did, like, change kind of like one line towards the end of the play, and it's just phenomenal. It was an idea she had during rehearsal. It's kind of like a small change, but meaningful. And, you know, it wouldn't have happened had she not kind of been as thoughtful as she is. She's just really, she thinks about things from not only in a thorough way, but kind of from unique angles that I haven't really seen another actor do. And she has a unique mind, and she's just incredibly creative. So she kind of comes at things from kind of just unique ways.
Now, you tend to write funny. Is it true that your mother was a birthday party clown? Is that where you got that from?
Yeah, my parents are funny people. My mom was a birthday party clown, but she was kind of a kind clown. She was not like a scary clown or any kind of, like, she was not like, well, maybe actually there was like some of her humor was like a little Borscht Belty in a kind of an updated way. And so, yeah, maybe that's why. And my father is a college professor, but also, you know, he's also a very funny guy.
Well, kids tend to be embarrassed by their parents. I assume that you were proud of your mother being a clown.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, and even more than just being proud of her, like, I kind of learned the discipline of performing because, you know, she would always be up early in the morning tuning her guitar to and, you know, warming up as I was waking up in the morning. So this is like on weekends when she would work. And so I kind of learned like the discipline behind performing. You know, you're not just seeing somebody perform and thinking it comes from nothing. You know, you see somebody kind of working on it.
Now, you've talked, everything you've written for the stage you've appeared in. I understand you're writing a musical. So are you going to be in that as well?
No, I wrote their part. There's no part I can play, luckily. And musical acting I did it when I was younger. Like, I started doing musical theater, community theater, when I was young, and it's a whole different discipline. Like, the people who do musical theater they don't eat chocolate, which I like, and even that is enough to keep me out of because it's...
chocolate affects your singing.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to dance, and I can't dance. And so it's a whole different, I think, breed of performer who people who are able to do musical theater.
Jesse, before you go, you've been on the show before, and we've known you as a funny, intelligent, and interesting subject. But then I read that you're actually a nightmare interview. Other interviewers have written tweets that say, "Don't think I'll friend him on Facebook." And I wonder why you're holding back on me.
Well, I'm not in the studio, so maybe that's why. That's not good. I don't know.
Well, I'm always happy to have you on the show, and I'm so pleased that you, I can't say you came by, but that you wanted to come by to talk about this publication of your play, The Revisionist. I suspect we'll talk again when the musical is produced. Jesse Eisenberg's The Revisionist, now available in a paperback from Grove Press. He is, of course, the Academy Award-nominated actor, playwright, and humorist for The New Yorker. And he has also appeared in films Now You See Me, The Social Network, Adventureland, Zombieland, The Squid and the Whale, Roger Dodger. Thanks for being on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me.